Coming to you now is Lahem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome again to Lahem Panim. So glad you could join us today as once again we study the Word of God together, specifically the book of Acts. Remember that last week we found Paul in Acts chapter 18 beginning his third missionary journey, and he had come to the city of Ephesus. Now with him were Priscilla and Aquila, a Jewish couple who were his companions in ministry. Now Paul had to leave them in Ephesus because he was trying to get to Jerusalem in time for Pentecost, where he wanted to complete his Nazarite vow. And so he leaves Priscilla and Aquila to carry on the work of building up the church there in Ephesus. But he promises to return. And meanwhile, while Priscilla and Aquila are there, a Jewish man from Alexandria, Egypt, by the name of Apollos, comes to Ephesus. And it says in verse 24, he was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. And while it may be obvious to some, I want to make sure it's clear that we're talking about the Old Testament scriptures, not the New. The word scriptures that's used here in the Greek is the word graphe. And whenever that word occurs in the New Testament, it always is referring to the Old Testament. Apollos is an Old Testament scholar who is skilled at teaching Old Testament scripture. But all of that eloquence, all of that knowledge, all of that giftedness, which we expounded upon last week, it was based on his natural ability, not on his having the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because he was not yet a Christian. Now, of course, every gift comes from God, but Apollos did not yet have the fruit or gifts of the Holy Spirit because he had not yet come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, some people say that he was a Christian because of the very next phrase, which says of Apollos, verse 25, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And that has led some to conclude that because Jesus is Lord, that Apollos had already been instructed in the Christian faith. And his knowledge simply was not yet as full as it needed to be. However, many who take that interpretation, they fail to take into account the fact that that phrase, the way of the Lord, it's not a new phrase coined by Christians. No, it's a phrase used throughout the Old Testament, beginning all the way back in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. It's a very broad, very general term for Old Testament instruction in the things of God, the standards that God has set for his people to follow. And so there's no reason to infer from that phrase that Apollos was a Christian. It's way too general a phrase. Plus, look at the word that precedes the phrase, the way of the Lord, the word instructed. This may help us to understand what kind of knowledge Apollos had, because the Greek word is katecheo, and katecheo means to teach orally by repetition. By the way, what word does katecheo sound like? Catechism. And what's a catechism? It's a method of teaching in which you learn orally by repetition. You read a line, the question, and then you read the answer. And then you go on to the next. It's something you repeat over and over again until you have it ingrained in your brain. And so that's how Apollos learned the way of the Lord. Now, having said all this, we do see that phrase, the way of the Lord, kind of funnel in and become more focused in Isaiah 40, verse 3. Because it says, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, who is that a prophecy of? Well, John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. That's where the knowledge of Apollos had stopped. He did know at least something about Jesus, which we will see in a minute. And that may be because of the ministry of John the Baptist. It's possible that because Alexandria was such a center of learning, that some of John the Baptist's disciples came there during Jesus' earthly ministry and proclaimed that he was the Messiah. It's even believed by some that Apollos may have been a disciple of John the Baptist. We don't know. But he apparently had learned at least a little bit about Jesus and his teachings, because it says in verse 25, "And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John." And so while Apollos may have known some of the basic facts about Jesus, he may not yet have known about Jesus' atoning work on the cross, his resurrection, or the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But whatever the case, his knowledge was incomplete. Everything he said was true, but he did not yet have the rest of the picture. I remember once my wife Tanya and I were on our way to visit my parents in Kentucky. And we had been following GPS, not on our phones, but on an actual GPS unit that in the good old days you bought as a separate unit. Ours was a TomTom. I remember you even had to pay to get the maps updated. So glad things have changed. But that night, I remember we got to about 20 minutes from where my folks were living, when the GPS suddenly showed that we were going off-road, even though we were definitely still on the road. And the direction suddenly went all wonky, and we completely lost our way. Now, what had happened is that some major road revisions were made, actually a new road, but because we hadn't updated the map on our TomTom, the TomTom was still operating with the old map in its system, which of course did not match up with the current roads. We needed a new map. Well, the same was true of Apollos. He was preaching the Old Testament the absolute best that he knew how. But he likely did not yet have the new information that he needed concerning the atoning work of Jesus. And so he couldn't get people to where they needed to go. Well, here's where the providence of God comes in, because one day, Apollos goes into the synagogue to preach. And it says in verse 26, "He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." Now, I love how Priscilla and Aquila, they see someone who does not yet fully understand, and they're courageous enough, they're loving enough to try to help point him in the right direction. And they do so very lovingly, because note that they don't rebuke him publicly, which would have just confused the Jews that he was preaching to. No, they quietly pull him aside, maybe even taking them home with them for a Sabbath dinner, and they tell him what he still needed to know about Jesus and about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I also love how teachable Apollos was, because he didn't brush them off. No, he seems to have eagerly received the knowledge that they had to offer. And that may have been the secret to some of his incredible knowledge, by the way. He was humble enough to be taught. He didn't have this "I already know it all" kind of attitude. You know, some time ago, my wife and I watched the show Downton Abbey. In it, there is a highly opinionated mother. Once another character in the show asked her, "How does it feel to be wrong?" And she, always very quick on her feet, she said, puffing up kind of like a peacock, she said, "I wouldn't know, my dear. I'm not familiar with the sensation." Now, let me tell you, a person who has that kind of attitude, who can never admit they're wrong or that their knowledge is deficient in any way, they can learn very little. I mean, if you want to know anything, then you have to truly believe and posture yourself as if you don't. If you want to grow, you have to recognize that there's more to grow into. Because only those who remain teachable and humble actually become true know-it-alls, or know-it-mosts. And that was really Apollos' spirit, because he humbly received the instruction of Priscilla and Aquila. And it was at this time that he became a convert to Christianity. He received the Holy Spirit, and then he went out to proclaim the message of the gospel. And he may have even gone back to the synagogue the following Sabbath to share with the Jews the rest of the story. But you know, he didn't stop there. Like any person who has received the good news of Jesus Christ and placed his or her faith in him, Apollos was eager to help spread the good news about Jesus. And so he's therefore eager to cross into Achaia. And the Ephesian church already very highly esteemed him and recommended him for this ministry, because it says in verse 27 and following, "And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him." And in the following verses, we see that immediate fruit is born out of his ministry. It says, "When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus." And so we see that Apollos, he quickly becomes a dynamic, powerful, monumental force for the kingdom of God. We see in the very next chapter that Apollos ministers for a time in Corinth. And hardly any time has gone by at all before Paul writes back in 1 Corinthians to the Corinthians, who are quarreling and becoming faction-oriented. And he says, "One of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ." And then he says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." And so what happened is that perhaps because of Apollos's great gifts, some of the Corinthians became more enamored with Apollos than with his message. And so they become faction-oriented. Now, these factions were not the fault of Apollos any more than they were of Paul or Peter. But I mention it here because of how remarkable it is that at this very early stage of Apollos' ministry, he already had become very highly esteemed, to where he, though not an apostle, is placed right after Paul and even before Cephas, even before Peter. I mean, it's amazing to see how mightily God was at work in Apollos' life. And there were three elements to this that I think are directly relevant to us. First of all, he had pursued and gained a solid understanding of the Word of God. Secondly, he was skilled in his presentation. He took time to hone in his skills in presenting the Word of God in a way that would be effective. But there was also something else, and we see it in verse 25, which says that he was fervent in spirit. In Greek, it literally means boiling in spirit. The only other time that word is used is in Romans 12:1, which says, "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord." You know, some of my favorite movies of all time, I've watched them so many times, it's embarrassing. The Rocky movies. In those movies, one of the things Rocky demonstrates, though sometimes it has to be rekindled, is a heart on fire, the burning heart, if you remember the song. And that's what this word means. And it's what is lacking in the chests of many Christians today. What the world needs most are men and women of God whose hearts are on fire for Him, who have a determination and drive purified and directed by the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord with all of who they are, with their hearts, with their souls, with their minds, and with their strength. Men and women who are mighty men and women in the Word, who know how to bring the truth of the Word of God to hungry souls. If we have hearts like that, the world will have no other recourse but to acknowledge that we truly do know and walk with He who is the Savior of the world. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.